And good morning, 8:31 at KVGB. Time for the Out and About Show here on from the Mayo Money Management Studios. Curtis Wolf, director of the Kansas Wetlands Education Center, joining us for his monthly visit, much anticipated by many, including me. Curtis, how are you today? Let me get your mic up there. Okay.
I'm doing great. That's I'll report. Mike Hesher did an excellent job last month, so but we missed you.
Okay. Hesh did. Okay, all right. Was I gone last? Yeah, I guess I was. It's about time for another vacation.
There you go. Okay. You bet.
All right, even though we're, when does spring begin? Well, we're going to go through March before the winter hours close at
For us, we're still in winter anyway, okay. but we'll... So through March here, we'll still be on our winter hours, which means we're closed on Sundays and Mondays. But starting in April, we'll be open 7 days a week again. So, however, there is a little exception, a little asterisk for this month. With spring break coming up, we will be open that Monday of spring break, which is March 11th, I believe. So we'll have activities going on, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah, okay, very good. We're supposed to get some rain this week, hopefully. Starting Wednesday, and it looks like a pretty good chance, but
bring it on.
Yeah. We need a gully washer right now. That not much has really changed out there for water level.
Really hasn't. You know, we talked a little bit last month. I was very surprised, and I think Jason's talked about it too, of how much with that snow we had back in January, how much sheet water that did put in the bottoms. There's several pools that still have some very shallow, just you can see the water, which is great. It's very shallow, though. I don't know if it'll last real long if we don't get more rain. So we're ready for some more rain to just help things out. I do know wildlife and park staff, they're actually starting to kind of dewater some of the areas and put that water back in storage so that we can save what is there. And so they're pumping some water back into the pool 1A, which is where they'll store it, and kind of go from there. But otherwise, there's still good amounts of water in pool 1A and then 3A. And so that's where most of the bird activity has been when you're going out there. The geese are still around, lots of ducks, and a few other things too.
Okay. These migrations early?
Yeah. Obviously, I think with the nice weather that we've been having, we're definitely seeing bird movement. For example, I know killdeer. One of our, first arrivals of spring migrants. They're not here during the winter time at all. They move south, but they're a relatively short distant migrant. And they're, we keep track of these things. And I think we've talked about it on a show in previous years before, that there's a thing called phenology. And phenology is just the study of the timing of things that happen regularly. And for migration, we keep track of like the first date of observation for the spring and fall migration. So the first date of killdeer arriving here, we try to keep track of that. And Wildlife and Parks has a pretty long, it's well over 40 years of data that they've kept track of the first sightings of some bird species in the area. And for killdeer in the springtime, their average first date is February 28th. Is the first date that we will see them coming back. This year, it was at least 2.5-3 weeks early that we saw our first killdeer around. And there's killdeer all over there right now. And so they were a little bit early. Just about everything else that we've seen has been 2 to 3 weeks early as well.
So compared to, you always said it's a February 28th date. Is there like an earliest date we've ever seen?
That's a good question. And they would have that information. No. I haven't seen that. But yeah, I'm sure that there is. And I don't know where this fits with that. You know, a lot of these birds, it doesn't vary very much. It's amazing how on time they typically are. And so... it's kind of fun to study that. And there's actually on the Wildlife and Parks, the Cheyenne Bottoms website, you can actually access that information. They have a table there that shows the phenology chart for birds. So if you go to the Cheyenne Bottoms, if you Google Cheyenne Bottoms Wildlife Area, come up with the Wildlife and Parks webpage, and there's a little button on the side that says Interesting Facts. And if you click on that, it brings up this phenology table, actually, which is kind of fun.
Is someone on migration duty? It's not because maybe Jason and his mm-hmm. guys are out working out there that day, or maybe you guys. I mean, is there someone that's on duty that day to what's coming in?
We all are type thing. Okay. And that, you know, it's very much, we rely on so many other people. We can't be out there every day. We've got, you know, programming and mm-hmm. stuff to do. So we rely on just about anyone to give us observations. And we've talked, I think, too, about, you know, this thing called eBird, where a lot of the bird watchers, they report their sightings. And so I check that several times a week just to see what birds have been reported from Cheyenne Bottoms. And that gives me a good idea of what's out there. And then, you know, one of us tries to get out there a couple times a week. We rely on Jason and Rob Penner. That are working out there to give us reports and tell us what's going on too.
So. Okay, it's duck season though right now.
It is, you know, not for hunting, but for for seeing ducks. This is the time to see it. They're so gorgeous. I mean, the drake, the male ducks are so colorful right now. It's so phenomenal to watch them. And there a lot of them, you'll see them out there. They're pairing up with mates. And they're in these courtship displays, and it's such a fun time to see ducks, and you can see some huge congregations. The last several years, Jason and I have talked about this, that the pintails. So northern pintails is a duck we get through here. They're one of my favorites. They're gorgeous colored on them, and we have to. I don't know if anyone's studied it, but we have to have a huge portion of the entire population of them that comes through the area here in the springtime, and they stick around for a while, and you see just these huge congregations of pintails, and they're a great one. So lots of them out there. Green wing teal, a lot of them, and they're nice and showy. A few mallards still around. American widgeon. So there's a lot of ducks, and they're just fun to see.
Where are they headed, Curtis?
So the ducks are headed to what they call the duck factory. Where their breeding grounds are heavily in that prairie pothole region. So in like Minnesota, the Dakotas, even over in like Wyoming and that sort of area. So that's and then up into Canada, the prairies of the central part of Canada. That's the duck factory.
Said prairies. Is that prairie with no water, or there's
so it's called the prairie pothole region. So there's a lot, and it's I think all glacier made little lake type things that are up there. So you know, you hear of like Minnesota being called the land of a thousand lakes,
right.
And that's exactly what it is. It's all these little out in these prairies, you have these little small ponds basically, and that's where most of the ducks go to breed and go to. So that's also like Ducks Unlimited. You know, their whole mission is raising money in order to conserve lands for that area.
Okay.
Almost every dollar that Ducks Unlimited raises goes to, you know, buying land or easements and that sort of thing to conserve those little wetlands that are up in the northern part of the U.S. and southern Canada.
Have you ever gone up there?
I have not. There are a lot of people from around here with Ducks Unlimited. They've gone on these field trips basically to go up there, and they'll go up to band geese and help with that. And a lot of people from around here have done that. That's kind of a neat thing to see.
It's like going up and seeing the mouth of the Mississippi,
yep.
You know, the mouth of migration starts.
That's exactly
area.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Snow geese numbers have remained pretty good.
They are. There's a lot of them. And this is the time of year for that too, where they're what we would call staging. They're getting ready to head on north. I saw just this weekend, again, some photos from Los Bluff National Wildlife Refuge, which is in Missouri, kind of by St. Joe, Missouri area. And the last few years, they've had some huge congregations. They've had well over a million snow geese here for the last week, and a lot of the swans, the trumpeter swans, I think mostly, like over 2,000 trumpeter swans. And so they have the numbers because they've got more water, obviously. I think if we had more water, we'd be seeing a lot bigger groups. So we still, it varies kind of day to day, but you can go out there in the afternoons and see some pretty large congregations of snow geese sitting there on the water that we've got. And so, but they're not going to be here that much longer either. They're going to start be thinking about heading north too.
Okay, sandhill crane numbers, what do those look like?
Yep, sandhill cranes have been coming through. It was not as many last week, it seemed like, but the week before last, If people were outside, I guarantee they were hearing and seeing sandhill cranes flying over, just drove, just wave after wave coming through. And that also seems pretty early to me. They come through this area, they'll use this area somewhat, but the springtime, the big thing is up on the Platte River in Nebraska. There again, that's the big staging area for sandhill cranes. And you know, the
staging area to head further north.
Okay. Exactly right. And so I think a lot of it is, you know, they get up there, there's so many cornfields and that sort of thing that's what they're feeding on. And they're just, you know, building up some reserves that they can go a little further north up to their breeding grounds. And so, around Kearney, Nebraska is the big concentration of them. Kearney, the city of Kearney has a huge crane festival. They do all these different activities and literally thousands of people that come up to see the cranes during the spring migration. Typically, that peak of that migration is about the third week of March. That's when they have their crane festival and that sort of thing. They had a lot of cranes up there. It would have been about 2.5 weeks ago. They had their first count. They'll go out, the biologist will do counts, and they already had like 38,000 sandhill cranes up there. That's a lot for that early, thinking that, you know, it's still a month before they reach their peak. For them.
How do we know if it's sandhill cranes flying over? Just the sound, or do they fly higher, or what?
Absolutely. So the sound is so distinct, that real melodic sound. You know, look that up on the internet, and you'll hear it. And then they're excellent gliders. So that you see birds up there that are mostly just soaring. Wings are out, not flapping at all. That's sandhill cranes.
They fly formation?
A lot of times they'll fly in Vs, kind of like geese. Other times it'll just be a mass of them. A lot of times you'll see them riding the thermals, so they'll do the circling, riding it up and then gliding down off of those. And so, geese are going to be, they have to flap almost, not constantly, but it's going to be much more frequent. Ducks are flapping all the time. The sandhill cranes are going to be lot better gliders.
So. I've got to keep my eye out. I don't think I've seen that before. Maybe I have. And
I know you have.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
That's absolutely.
And plenty of other birds right now.
Yeah. So we have seen pelicans have started to show back up. A lot of people like to come out and see them. There's not huge numbers, but there's been, you know, a handful that I've seen when I've been out there the last couple weeks. And so their numbers will be increasing as they start heading north as well. Still a lot of raptors. The one that to see out there is the northern harriers. They've been around all winter, and their numbers are real high. Great blue herons are coming back in some bigger numbers now too, and then lots of other songbirds. Seeing some pretty good congregations of the blackbirds here the last couple weeks, floating around. Not anything like it was.
Okay.
But there's been some nice murmurations that we call of the blackbirds.
Raptors migrate?
Many of them do, and I think we've talked maybe about it before that for a lot of the raptors, this is as far south as they go for their wintering. So during the winter times, we have a lot more species and a lot more numbers of raptors in this area. And then they'll head out, they'll move north. So, you know, they're ferruginous hawks, rough-legged hawks. They're not here in the summertime. They're only here in the wintertime.
Have we ever had any reports of raptors coming into town and taking off small animals?
I don't know about our, you know, chihuahuas or anything like that, but definitely squirrels and that sort of thing, and
really?
Rabbits in town. I've seen that happen before.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. More with Curtis Wolf, Kansas Wetlands Education Center, coming up after this.
Excellence in patient care is a tradition at Clara Barton Medical Center, and we are proud to continue that reputation with the addition of our newest physician assistant, Morgan Feldkamp. Morgan is joining an outstanding team of clinicians at Clara Barton, and we are thrilled to welcome her as the newest member of our medical staff. Morgan is now accepting new patients in Hoisington and Great Bend, so give us a call and schedule your appointment today at a convenient location near you.
Creating great patient experiences.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
All right, Curtis Wolf with us. When he gets going, I have questions. So okay, Turtle Tots preschool program coming up.
That's right. So we've got a nice list of programs for the spring here. This is really our busy season with school field trips starting up and all that stuff, but some great programs to start thinking about. This Friday, our next Turtle Tots program, these are programs for preschool age students, so ages 3 to 5. It's real nice right now. We've got a real nice core group of people that are coming to every one of these, but we can always take a few more. I know we've still got one or two spots open, so if you have a 3 to 5 year old and want to get them into this. This will be this Friday at 10 o'clock. We'll be studying the plant life cycle. And so we usually, do a little story with them. They have a little craft. They'll usually go outside. So great way to get your littles out and about for that. So
what do the parents do while this
We want the parents to be there with them and they can kind of participate and help out, obviously. Okay. But that's kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So. This is very important talking to you, but during the break, what a great idea. Spring break drop-in activities.
So yeah.
Spring break's on the way.
We've done this the last few years, and just a great opportunity. Again, so many people, kids are at home trying to figure out what to do. Each afternoon, we will be offering our spring break drop-in activities. So every day is a different activity. So we'll have some families that come out every single day to do the activity. And so some fun little things, we'll have it all set up there. You can come in, it's drop-in, just kind of come and go type activities. It's not the whole time, but from 1 to 4 each day, we'll have a different activity. So this is, and the other fun thing, this is obviously for our visitors coming out, but this is a wonderful experience for our part-time help that's there as well. So this is something that they are in charge of designing each of these programs. They see what our educators are doing throughout the year, and they get to help, with prep materials on that. But a lot of time, our part-timers aren't doing a lot of the programs. Well, this is on them to come up with the program, come up with the advertising material for it, all the supplies that they need, and everything else. So, so this is each day is a different part-time employee that's in charge of their program. So, so the activities, like I said, different one each day, but the first one Monday is going to be talking about grasshoppers. So jump into spring with a grasshopper discovery. There's a craft involved with that, talking about some other insect type things. And so fun activity there. Tuesday, we'll be looking at bees. And the big thing is they'll be making a hotel for bees using these little mason bee tubes. They'll make that they can take home and put it in their yard and have a little home for those types of bees. Wednesday is talking about frogs and toads, the differences between them. There'll be a couple little activities and a craft with that, that they'll be able to do and a take home. Thursday is talking about birds and their beaks, and what they eat. They'll get to make a little bird feeder that they can take home and display as well. And goes from there. Friday is going to be talking more in general about wetlands and some of the functions that wetlands provide, like filtering water. And so they'll get to do that, and they'll get to put together a little wetland diorama type thing that they'll do for that one. So fun activities every day. I think it'll be a great time. Also, if you're not able to come out for the afternoons, we will be doing a Facebook Live each morning, kind of talking about that day's activity and kind of some things that you can do at home to do an activity for that too. So get on our Facebook about 10 o'clock each day that day, and we'll have a little video thing with that.
The hotel for bees. Now, that is that honeybees or is it another type? What is it?
Yeah,
bees or
pretty sure that it's only certain species of bees that we'll use.
And those are the kind of things. Look like bees, but they're
yeah, there's a lot of different
species.
But they still
do the bees. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're still very important. They're important pollinators and that sort of thing. But I think it's like Mason bees is one of them, and there might be some others that, that utilize kind of these tubes and that you can have for these houses. So we'll be talking about that information with
Curtis. I just wanted, because we get this time of year, and of course we're always trying to take care of pests, and there's so many products out there, and some of them are the spray products, right? That you need to spray your hedge or something like that, but those aren't really healthy, especially
they're
for-
not. And that's, we'd really try to discourage, you know, too much in the way of herbicides and pesticides, insecticides, because unfortunately most of those are, they're not directed to just the thing that you're trying to manage. So they kill everything. And so that's the problem with that. And I understand people, you know, they put a lot of time and effort into to trying to have nice flowers in their yard or that sort of thing. But you really have to consider what effects you're having when you're using some of those pesticides. So yeah, I would really try to discourage using them.
Okay, let's see. Moving on. Oh, frogs versus toads. That the difference is it's not the frogs against the toads.
Well, it could be. We'd have some cage matches here or something.
the Wetlands Wild Program. And this is interesting. Blood Creek Deer Recovery Demonstration on Friday, March 29th.
We've already had quite a bit of traction with this one when we put it out on our Facebook page. So Blood Creek Deer Recovery, so I'll put it out there. It's Jason Wagner's family, his brother actually has started this company. They've gotten and trained a couple dogs that are used for recovering deer during deer season. So someone goes out, shoots a deer, it doesn't kill it right away. They start tracking it and can't find the deer. They can call this company and they'll come out and try to help you track your deer down so that you can recover it. And they've been incredibly successful. These dogs are phenomenal. A lot of time goes into their training, but they are good at what they do. And so we're going to have a demonstration with them. They're going to bring out their dog, at least one of them, and do a little demonstration on how they do this and kind of the procedure with it. I think it'll be a fun thing to come and see. So that's Friday, March 29th at 10 o'clock. You don't have to register for that or anything there. Everyone's welcome to come out for that day to check it out.
Solar Eclipse Viewing Party on Monday, April 8th, 12 to 3 p.m. Come view the solar eclipse. What is that going to look
like? I don't know if people really realize that we have a huge event coming up just for everyone in our solar eclipse. Many might remember the last total eclipse that we had was in August of 2017,
which was weird.
Huge event, you know, and these are huge kind of celestial events, I guess you'd say, where in this case, the moon, the shadow of the moon, you know, covers up the sun and we go from there. Now, we are not in totality here. You got to go for this one. The path of that is down in like Texas, I think, is going to be where a lot of people are going to see the total eclipse. We'll have a partial eclipse here. And people are still, you know, they're going to be able to check it out and you'll notice it here. And I think that around here, the peak of the eclipse is about 1:30 or something like that. We did this back in 2017 as well. But we're going to have kind of a viewing party and you can come out, you know, there it's kind of starts around lunchtime. Come and bring your lunch if you want. And we'll have a bunch of activities and other safe viewing things that you can do out there with that. If you
safe viewing.
That's the key. That's the biggest thing with these eclipses is, you know, our eyes are not designed to be able to look at the sun. Even though it'll be partially covered, it can really damage people's eyes. And so, of course, you know, you'll probably start seeing them more and more people selling these solar eclipse viewing glasses and be sure that they are legit ones, and we'll have a big supply of them. Actually, we're kind of partnering with the local Lions Club, the Great Bend Lions Club here. They're actually going to be providing those glasses for us, and so we really appreciate that. You know, eyesight and vision is a huge thing with the Lions Clubs, and so they're going to be purchasing, I think, 300 pairs of those glasses for us, and so we really appreciate that. And so we'll have those for people to be able to view, and we'll have some other little experiments that we'll do during that time too, and so lots of things with that.
Okay, now another popular event is not going to happen, the Greater Prairie Chicken Lek Tours.
Yeah.
But we don't have our lek is vanished.
Unfortunately, yes. That just pains me. This is the second year in a row that we've had to cancel them. And I was worried that that might be the case, but we've offered the Greater Prairie Chicken Lek Tours for quite a few years, mm-hmm. taking people out to watch prairie chickens on their breeding grounds and do all their little antics and displays. And went out this weekend to check and see if we did have birds, and there was not one bird at the lek, which I was really disappointed at. And so if people have signed up, we'll be calling them to tell them we're going to have to cancel that this year. I guess an alternative, I will say that there is a prairie chicken festival that'll be going on up at Hayes, April. It's in the middle of April, and called Lek Treks, and they're taking people out to watch prairie chickens in various other places, and we'll be helping with those tours as well. We help with the prairie chickens up there, and so people are welcome to check that out and participate in that big festival if they're really interested in learning more about prairie chickens.
And these sites, I mean, they would go back year after year after year. What happens to a lek that decides to move elsewhere?
That's something that is still such a mystery to me, is why is it that these birds choose this particular place? And who knows? Well, I guess time will tell with this one. You know, there was no birds there when I was up there this weekend. Will they, you know, if the population grows a little bit up there, they have some good breeding years, will they find that area again? I don't know. Or will it be totally abandoned? Obviously, there's something about that place, because there's, I'm sure, have been birds there for a long time, and hopefully they'll find it again. So,
well, did we get a report that, hey, there's a new lek over here?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we're always, if anyone knows that they have a prairie chicken lek and would like to work with us, the one we've gone to is on private ground, and we've set up a really nice relationship and agreement with that landowner to allow us access. If people know of other leks that would be accessible, we'd be happy to work with you, and maybe we can continue our tours if that's the case. So let us know.
So the leks will be somewhere. We just get a different place. Okay, Curtis, we've got a little less than a minute right now. Anything else that you want to let people know about today?
You know, we talked about with viewing at Cheyenne Bottoms, we still offer our van tours, and we have had several people call and schedule van tours for coming up here this spring. And so if that's something that you're interested in, like I said, it's not as spectacular as when we have full of water, but there's still plenty of stuff to see. And as we get into the next few weeks, with the number of birds that are going to be coming through, this is the time that I would suggest to schedule your van tours. And so we can take up to 11 people at a time if you want. Come out for our 90-minute tour, $5 for adults, $3 for kids. We'd be happy to do that for you.
You have in-laws in town.
Yep.
Great idea. Curtis, thank you very much. Curtis Wolf with us, Out and About Show here on a Monday on 1590 KVGB, Great Bend.